You want to turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I've entitled today's message, Don't Waste the Season. Don't waste the season. And I'm going to be reading from verses 18 through 25 as we start out. Then we'll pray together. I look forward to looking into this text together to glean a word from God that's powerful, that's able to save, and really that equips us, is profitable for us, equipping us for every good work and teaching and helping us to change. So let's read Romans 8, 18 through 25. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom and the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you that you are a God of hope, that you are a God of action. Lord, you're not removed from this world, watching as it falls apart. You've already intervened, given your Son, Jesus Christ, who became flesh, walked this world, died a sinner's death, a criminal's death, one that I deserved because of my sin and rebellion against you, one that you've made clear. All have sinned and fall short of your glory. And Father, when we see that, it weighs on us heavily. Father, thank you that you offer forgiveness freely, that it's a free gift of eternal life through Christ Jesus. And Lord, that you can transform us, that you can change us, that you can instill life in us, that you can do powerful things in and through us who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and have been saved. Father, in the midst of this time, we lift up all those around us who are suffering with this coronavirus, especially those with further health complications who, Lord, are helpless and who are dependent on you. Father, we pray that you'd sustain them. Father, we pray for wisdom for our nation as it's overtaking us quickly. And Lord, we're soon going to be out of hospital beds if things don't change. And Father, while that might lead us to want to panic, lead us want to find a way to run, Lord, we do desire a quick stop to this, but we trust that you're in control. We know you're the one who's able. We know you're the one who can end things now, and we know that in the midst of it, that you're with us. We thank you for that powerful reminder and that encouraging truth. Father, help us to know, how do we respond now? What do we do? Lord, where is our hope? Father, help us to serve those around us. Help us to be ready to give a reason for the hope that's in us, with meekness and with fear. Lord, we want to speak life. Father, we're thankful that we're not without hope, but that it's based in that coming of Jesus Christ and what we wait for, our eternity with you, and the promises you've given and the assurances we have of those promises. Lord, bless us now as we look into your word. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know about you. I hate changed plans. It can be the most minor of things. Something goes wrong. I knew what I was going to do for my day, and something goes up, and suddenly I'm reshuffling around. Oh, it drives me crazy. I do not know how to cope sometimes, other than the fact that I have to let go and realize God is in control, and I can trust him. But it's certainly hard. And how much more now for many of us who struggle in the same way, and in our society right now, everything's uprooted. Churches, businesses, personally, we've made goals for this year, 2020 vision, 2020 goals. Here's what we aspire to do this year, and we're dreaming big and looking forward to what we're going to accomplish. And all that's been put on hold, and right now we're hunkering down just hoping that we don't get the coronavirus and don't spread it to anybody else as well. And that's become a major focus, and rightly so, as we want to protect our nation and the further spread. But it's changed plans for us and completely uprooted. What are our goals and what are we after? And it's a hard truth to swallow and at times wonder, what are you doing, Lord? Couldn't you have stopped this? Couldn't you have prevented this? And I'm reminded of a few verses, first of all, to help put that into perspective. Ecclesiastes 3:1 reminds us, for everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven. And so, there's purpose for the different things that happen. And right now, we're in a season of shutdown all around us. A season where we're working from home, we're worshiping from home, kids are home from school, and things are completely changed. And the Bible says, for everything, there's a season. Now, I'm sure you can dream up crazy things that you might never expected, but I can assure you, when I was working on the plans for this year, for my family, for our church, it did not include lockdown for virus. So, there's a season that God's brought across for a reason. And as I think about my plans, Proverbs 16:9 reminds me, the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. We've also looked recently at Isaiah chapter 55, and Isaiah 55:8-9 remind me, this is the Lord telling me, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We're talking about a God who is sovereign. And while we might have never dreamed any sort of plan that said, hey, let's have this take over the world right now with everybody removing social distancing, that doesn't sound like a good plan to me. And yet God's plans, God's ways, God's thoughts are all better than anything I could dream of. And so I'm thankful that God's the one in control and not me. So now what do I do? Well, my perspective in this shows a few things about my understanding. First, what I understand about God's will, and also what I understand about the role of suffering in life. And Romans 8 brings that across in a special way, and it's got some very big promises for us. Verse 18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is being revealed, that is to be revealed to us. Imagine a scale and comparing, if we could somehow do it. And some of us have been through absolutely devastating things in life, the worst pain that I can't even imagine. And so some of you are just bogged down with pain and suffering. And the Bible puts that in perspective, not to minimize it, but just to compare it with something, not, okay, my pain's worse than other pain, but my pain doesn't even begin to tip the scale for an eternal weight of glory that's far greater. And what's coming to us will make this seem so minuscule, whether it's the coronavirus, whether it's losing dear loved ones to coronavirus. Again, not minimizing terrible pain and terrible suffering and the weight of what's going on now, but there is a perspective. So we put that promise before us to think on that. It doesn't change what hurts now, so let's keep going. There's another promise in this passage, and that's going to be our focus today. Verse 28, perhaps you've heard this before. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. All things work together for good. That's quite a promise, especially when we don't get answered. Why is this going on? And I don't know if the Lord will ever spell out, well, here's how I'm connecting all the dots to make everything work just right in the midst of the world being overcome with this coronavirus that's devastating many and lost many lives. But let's keep going. All things work together for those who love God. They all work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. And that's a mighty promise. And so even though we can't grasp it, even though it's hard to comprehend, we've got a promise before us. And we believe Scripture to be true. And we believe that God loves us, cares for us. We know that he identifies with our suffering, having given Jesus himself. And so we've got a God who understands. And so what I see here in this passage, and what I want to talk about, it's these verses 18 through 25. It's talking about hope. We're trying to That's where many of us go right now. Can't wait till this is over. I want to get to the other side. I need to get past this into the next stages. Let's put all of this behind and let's move on with the way things used to be and continue pursuing what we want to pursue. Well, consider how many times you've thought that. Now, I've thought that through as a kid growing up. I can't wait till I'm adult. I thought that in college. I can't wait till I graduate and I can start. And I can't wait till I get married and I can have married life. I can't wait till we have kids. And there's always the next part that we're looking forward to. And there's some good things in life that are coming. And yet, if I keep looking to the next, I miss what's going on here. And sometimes it's some of the hard stuff. It's, well, why are we here? I just need to get past this. And perhaps we're in stages of life where once I'm past this, then I will follow God. Or if I can get this out of my way, I will do better in life. And there's a different perspective given here. See, we are waiting with hope for future glory. Romans 8, 18 through 25 makes that clear. We're waiting with hope for future glory. But verse 28 and 29 show us we're not only waiting with hope for future glory, but we can be working with hope for present good. Waiting for hope, waiting with hope for future glory, but working with hope for present good. There can be good now. How does that make sense? But I think the question is, what about now? We're talking about now. Verse 28, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. That includes right now. And that doesn't mean just fitting the bad pieces together to connect the goods, to get from good to good. That's talking about right now, working together for good in God's purpose. Right now, working good now. What is that good? We don't get those answers. But even when we don't know how can this possibly be good, we're given something here, and that's the word purpose. We're called according to His purpose. And verse 29 goes on to elaborate, for those whom He foreknew, He also predestined. So this is God working in eternity past to fulfill His plan that's being worked out now. There's a lot more theology we could get into, but I want to draw out what's being done in this purpose. So being worked out since eternity past in His purpose that's being worked out now is this. He can predestine us to be conformed to the image of His Son. Conformed to the image of His Son. And that's to be more like Jesus, to put it plainly. We can use now to be more like Jesus. In fact, I encourage you, don't waste this season. Don't waste it. Yes, we want to get to the other side, but while we're here, while we're in this time, Ephesians 5:16 tells us, redeem the time. How do we make the most of now? How do we make right now matter? I don't know how long this season of COVID-19 will last. I don't know how long we'll have to distance from each other, how long kids will be home from school, how long we won't even be able to gather together to worship. I do know that I can make the time right now matter. I can work with hope for present good. So I encourage you then, looking at this, that we take time this season to become more like Jesus. That's how I don't waste this. I use my response now to let me be more like Jesus. And there's three areas of growth we'll see as we look into this passage. The first is this, that we grow in trust. We have to take time this season to become more like Jesus. And the first is by growing in trust. Now in verse 28, we're told about that promise. It says, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. Sometimes that's hard to see, again, but there's a purpose in now. And we've been studying 1 Peter in our adult Bible study Sunday mornings before our worship service. And 1 Peter is a great book to go to in the midst of suffering. And I've appreciated our chance to work through that. We're leading up to a verse later in 1 Peter, 1 Peter 4:19, which reminds us, let those who suffer commit their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. But it has an important part in the midst there. 1 Peter 4:19, therefore let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. God wants that. God allows that to happen, and it doesn't happen accidentally. But in the midst of suffering, some people have a theology that a good God wouldn't allow that. So if you really believe God, all your problems will go away. But this makes it clear, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. And in the midst of it, it can seem like a long time. Psalm 13 is another great study in the midst of suffering to go to. And it starts out with just a cry. This is David. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? And it's a cry of earnest, straightforward, like, I'm desperate, God, where are you? And it's okay to pray that way. But he does bring himself around in that psalm, verse 5 and 6, but I've trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. He goes back to the salvation the Lord gives and lets that be his foundation and lets that be the basis of which he will still respond with right. I think that's important. So back to Romans 8, we've got to trust that there is good, that there is purpose. It says we know that. All things work together for good to those who are called according to his purpose. Do you believe that? That there is good, that there is purpose. And not just conceptually, again, not just, okay, yeah, I know that in my head, but what does that mean then? How do I really begin to take root in trusting that? Where do I start? The daily flow has changed for all of us. Most of us have a lot more time. Let me ask, how are you using it? If you're home more, not traveling out to the grocery stores as much, not commuting to work, not getting together with other people like you might normally do, how are you using your extra time? Are you taking more time to absorb in all the news you can, to be on social media as much as possible, more TV, more movies? What are you doing with your time? I'm burdened by a quote of John Piper who says this, one of the great uses of Twitter and Facebook will be to prove at the last day that prayerlessness was not from lack of time. Many of us are busy. But are you too busy to be doing what God calls you to do? Are you too busy to draw near and enjoy a relationship with God and spend time in His Word, spend time in prayer, drawing near to know Him more? We have more time for both. And if you've been struggling to make the time, don't fill up your extra time with a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and keep it too full to do what matters most. This is the chance when you can grow in trust. And the way you can grow to trust God is by drawing near, reading of His promises, praying to Him, crying out when you're struggling, and crying out in thanksgiving when you see the answers, and just seeing how God has worked in His Word and how He continues to work. We believe the Word of God is living and active. That's powerful. And so you can't see that power if you're not active in the Word. You can't see that power if you're not crying out to God for His help. Pray, draw near, and grow in trust as you're active in time in the Word and prayer, drawing near to the Lord. So take time this season to become more like Jesus. First, grow in trust. Second, grow in character. We need to continue to grow in character. And again, that's what's happening here. All things work together for good, those who are called according to His purpose, because those whom He foreknew, He predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's hard. I aspire all the time that I'm going to do better. I'm going to be more like Jesus. I'm going to be more patient. I'm going to, and all of those, it can be kind of hard now. There's more pressure at work for some of us, where there's more to do, and we're home, and it might be a greater struggle with finances, people being laid off, people who are struggling to pay bills, people who may have investments that have seen the effects of the economy, and now you're wondering, was I hoping in that? What's going to happen in the future? All these things are unknowns, and it can, in the midst of that pressure, cause some difficult things to come out of us. And we can blame the pressure, and we can blame the stress, but I think a great illustration is that of a tea bag, that the circumstances we're put into are like the hot water that draw out of us what's within, for me to examine, okay, if the pressure and stress is causing this to come out, then I need to do an inward change to help me become more like Jesus. If my attitude is wrong, what am I wanting? What makes it okay for me to respond that way? And it needs to be an examination time. At the same time, too, some of us are around family more. So, you know, with kids home, there's more meals to make, more cleaning to do. All of these add together. But what we're seeing here is a call to become more like Jesus. That there's a change process that's supposed to be happening, particularly for those who believe in Jesus. And if you haven't trusted in Jesus as Savior, we're not trying to make you good people. We're not trying to make you more moral. Don't miss it. You've got to put your trust in Jesus, and it's about the life that's in Him. And what that does in turn is to grow you to have better character. But you can't just fix your character outwardly. It's that inward, the tea bag, what's in your heart, that needs to be completely transformed by believing in Jesus. So, conforms the image of His Son. We're talking about Christ-likeness. We're talking about becoming more like Jesus. In fact, in the book of Acts, they started calling the disciples of Jesus Christians. We're familiar with that today, but at that point in time, it was meant as an insult. It literally means little Christ. And so they were insulting these people who were acting like Jesus. Jesus was gone. They'd gotten rid of Him. And now a bunch more people were spreading the church and spreading good news and becoming problems for them. And so out of insult, they were calling them Christians. But that's what we ought to be. Little Christ, not out of self-glory, but to let Jesus live through us. Jesus said it well in Luke 6:40. A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. Jesus is calling us as disciples to learn from Him and to become more like Him. And what in turn will come are what we see in Galatians 5:22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, that would be what would grow inside of me so that it would come out in the midst of stress and pressure. And again, the root is the heart. What do I want? Am I spending time with Jesus to let Him transform me? I need to grow in character, and it's going to start with that growing in trust, but then as I work at it, to let me pause in the midst of these situations where I respond wrong and keep growing in character. So take that time this season to become more like Jesus. First, grow in trust. Second, grow in character. And finally, that we grow in relationships. That we grow in relationships. Verse 29, for those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. We've got many brothers that we're talking about here. That we have a spiritual family in Christ. And the truth is, it's kind of ironic right now. We're being called to social distance. We're being called to live in isolation. But the truth is, the Christian life, many try to do it in isolation. They go to a big church where they can go. They can sing the songs, listen to the sermon, walk out, maybe not talk to anybody, not be bothered. Or maybe they made it the norm to, I just want to sit at home. I'll worship online. I'll listen to the sermon. I'll sing my songs at home. But the Christian life is not meant to be lived in isolation. It's meant to be lived with each other, in fellowship with one another, interacting with real relationships, with real people. And yeah, that's what makes life messy. That's where it gets hard, because sinners interacting with sinners can make way for a lot of conflict, a lot of problems. And yet, life is lived with people. I can potentially have great character if I don't have other people around. But those fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, those don't happen in isolation. Those happen in relating with other people. When we look at 1 Corinthians 13, the qualities of love, those are actions that happen relating with other people. Love is patient. Love is kind. That's got to be learned by interacting with others and putting on Christ. That's important for us to recognize. So who are you around right now? Many of us have a family. If you don't have kids at home, then perhaps you're living with your spouse at least. Wherever your relationships are that you're prominent now, you've got a place where maybe you're having more time for conflict. Maybe with that added pressure, you're just, you know, it's easy to, in one house where you don't get out as much, get sick of one another. And yet God brought that across the life context right now for a purpose. You've got an excellent place to grow in your relationships right now with your family, with those you're around and living with. Romans leads up to, in talking through all this, it's headed to an important part of that walk that in Romans 12:5 says, we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. That's how tight and important these relationships are. Goes on in Romans 12:9, let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. We're quick to defend. We're quick to attack others. We need to put pause to that. Perhaps we've got long-term conflicts that we've got time now to work out in confession and forgiveness and taking the time to talk together, spend time together, and make it count. Don't waste this season. We've got also a unique opportunity now to grow in other relationships. People that, okay, I won't see again, so it doesn't matter in the midst of other pressures. Yeah, there's longer lines at stores. It's more of a rush around, and people can be a lot more inconsiderate, and I might want to respond in kind, and yet I've got opportunity in the same way to serve others, to put on patience and kindness when others aren't manifesting that. And as part of doing so, as 1 Peter 3:15 says, to be ready to give an answer for the hope that's in me, to show it with the way I live and to tell others about it. My hope's not in this present circumstance. I've got a future hope. I'm waiting with hope for that future glory, but I'm working with hope now for present good. And so that's good growing in my life and growing through my life to influence others. What is your hope? Don't waste this season. We've got now. We've got now to grow and trust in God more. We've got now to grow in the character that's in my heart and that flows out of me in the way I speak and behave. We've got now to grow in my relationships with my family at home and those that I do cross paths with to make the most of this time. Not let it just blow by, not wonder, okay, all the plans of my life are gone, but that now is my time to build up in what matters most. And when we're back to being together, that we'd have a foundation to continue in. Not just, okay, now it doesn't matter anymore, but that we see the importance of these things and continually become more like Jesus, whatever our life context is. Isolated at home, busy jobs where society's up and running again, or if I'm the one that's isolated in the hospital with coronavirus and pneumonia, whatever it might be, that I would trust God and use that to make the most of this time now. It would be a waste to let it go, but I can use it. God knows best, right? He knows best. Even when he changes our plans, he knows best, especially when he changes our plans. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. We look forward to being on the other side of the season, and especially eternity with Jesus. But how we use the context that God has given us now. Don't waste it. Don't waste this season, but let God grow you to become more like Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are good. We believe that, even when it's hard to see because of difficult circumstances, because of the devastation of society, because of hardships we face. But Lord, your goodness is not because of our circumstances. Your goodness is our foundation, that in the midst of hard circumstances, we have an anchor in you. You've not turned your face from us, even when it feels like it. So we can cry out to you, how long, O Lord? But in the end, we turn to the steadfastness of hope that we have, first because you have forgiven us, those who trusted in you. We have forgiveness of sins, we have salvation and hope of eternity with you, and we look forward to the day when we're with you forever. And yet we know you're with us now. And so that's our hope in this present time. Lord, we want to experience your presence more by drawing near and living more like Jesus, letting Jesus live his life through us. We thank you that you count us worthy, not because we're good, Lord, but because you saw your purpose to love us, to work purpose in us, to draw everything together for good. And Lord, that you're in the process of changing us still. Lord, when I fall flat on my face, I'm not hopeless. You'll help me get back up and keep going. and that you're continuing to work it together for good, Lord. Help me to fix my eyes and mind and heart on you, that I would follow you with all I've got and see that all things work together for good. Help me to trust that. We love you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. Again, we'll be up and live next week. I ask you to invite your friends and continue to make this an opportunity to spread the good news of God's Word. Have a blessed week. Please reach out if we can be praying for you in any way. Take care. God bless.